Save big money on your outdoor project at Menards. Take the guesswork out of landscaping with our free, easy-to-use design program. Plus, Menards has the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape blocks at the best prices. Get started on your dream landscape now. Visit us in-store or on Menards.com to see our full selection of landscape blocks and get your project started today. Save big money
at Menards. At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Mornings can start feeling the same. Wake up, brush teeth, go to work. But with breakfast from Wendy's, it's like, wake up, brush teeth, baconate with a breakfast baconator, roll with the sausage breakfast burrito, buddy it up with a honey buddy, or get seasoned with seasoned potatoes, and then go to work. Sorry. When you're ready for a fresh wake-up call, gotta be Wendy's.
At participating U.S. Wendy's during breakfast hours.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring trial consultant and body language expert Susan Constantine.
It's official. Alec Murdaugh has formally filed a motion in state court seeking a new murder trial due to the allegations of jury tampering. Of course, we're talking about the allegations against Colton County Clerk of Court Rebecca Hill, alleged to have had improper, possible influential contact with jurors during the six-week trial. Love him or hate him, if in fact that did take place, he's got a pretty good argument and a pretty good reason to ask for a new trial. Joining us to discuss, Susan Constantine. Where do you think this is going? Do you think that there's a good chance that this could happen? And I'm also curious to get your take on what we've known or what we do know now about Rebecca Hill. We've seen her in interviews and such, and little bit here and there coming and going from the courthouse where she still works. What's your take on where this is all sitting right now?
Well, I think that right now, from what I have read and what I've heard, is that the four jurors came forward, that they actually were some of the attorneys were able to talk with, and they all unequivocally say, I didn't, you know, that she never told us that. So that was, you know, again, I think it's just a way for Murdaugh to be able to size a friendly person in the courtroom that had a good relationship. Now, did she say things that allegedly that were, and if she said it, and it was true that, you know, watched their body language, you know, noticed certain things about it, then of course that's prejudicial, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, for that reason, yes, he would need to get a new trial. The thing is, they haven't proved it yet. Mm-hmm. Those four jurors are saying, no, that's not true. She never said that. And then the other problem is that maybe she needs to pull the reins back a little bit, and she's getting a little bit too friendly and too close, emotionally close to those jurors. But on the other hand, you know, that's her domain, right? Mm-hmm. That's her baby. She's protecting. It's just the mama bear over all of them, right?
Yeah.
So she's always been front and center. And sometimes when you do that, you might get stung by a bee. And that's what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, it would be shocking if this does, in fact, lead to a new trial. Shocking that these allegations are being made. But I mean, how do you prove that these things were said or not said, especially if they were only said to maybe a specific couple of jurors, where some may have no recollection of this? Clearly, some saying that, and others, maybe they do have a recollection of that sort of thing being said. How do you prove that it ever actually did take place and it's not a person making something up?
Yeah, they have to come forward and they have to confess that she did it. Mm-hmm. And there's really no reason for them not to tell the truth,
yeah,
because there's no skin in the game. It's not like it's her aunt or her best friend, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
This is just a clerk of the court. Why would they protect her?
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason to protect her. All they would need to say is, yes, it happened. No, it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's pretty clear. If somebody doesn't come out and say, yes, that's what she said, I heard it with my own ears, then that's direct evidence of witness or juror tampering.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the possibility if there would be another trial, and we do see Alec Murdaugh back in the courtroom over the murder charges. Obviously, he took the stand last round. Let's talk about that for a moment and what you witnessed when he was on the stand in terms of guilt or innocence based on body language, and if it would be a good idea for him to take the stand again if this were to come to fruition.
Never, ever. I hope that he learned this lesson the first time. He's a horrible witness. Mm-hmm. He should never have taken the stand because, I analyzed this case ever since the beginning. There's so much to unpack here. It's like, so overarching, yes, he was deceptive. Yes, I think that the jurors saw that. We saw that in the verdict. There was no doubt. They thought he lied, covered up his lies. And then he admitted he lied, and then he lied, continued to lie.
Yeah.
He didn't have any credibility. So the only way for him to, if he got another trial, is those attorneys have got to massively get him under control. I mean, I don't think it's possible. I think that he runs the show, and that narcissistic personality disorder really takes hold, and he just doesn't have a good presentation in front of those jurors. I think that, you know, my good friend Phil Waters, he's a homicide detective. I think you've heard of
him. Yeah, he's been on the show. Yeah.
Yeah. And so one thing that I love, and when we were talking about the Murdaugh, he says, when you see snot, it's not. There's no tears. You see all this stuff coming down.
Yeah.
And then he doesn't wipe it. And, you know, and he's trying to pretend like he's got tears, and he's very theatrical, and he does what we call overfacing. He pushes his emotions. So they're not natural emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are times he's truthful, but most people don't lie 100%.
Mm-hmm.
They only lie when they need to lie. Because again, my training, all of my 20 years of training, every training I've ever taken, and what I teach is that everyone tells you the truth. They just omit, skip over, they subterfuge, they redirect. That's what they do. But for the most part of what people say is true, but they might put other actors in their place. Like they'll talk about not themselves, but talk about themselves in a third person, that it was another third person. And you're talking about what they did, but it was actually you that did it. So when you listen to a person long enough, you start to figure out how they lie.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I am fascinated by. How does he actually convince himself that he's pulling it off and he's truthful? And so when his plan wasn't working, that's when he started to come forward and then say, well, I did lie. Remember, he didn't come out and say he lied at first.
Mm-hmm.
No, he waited till he was deep into it. And finally, he's like, I lied. I lied about this and I lied about that. He couldn't even lie well when he says, I didn't kill my wife and I didn't kill my son. It just wasn't, none of it was sincere. It defies everything that I have learned about what he did as an actor as being truthful, because he's not. He is the textbook liar.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way around it, because he's lied in so many areas that people like myself and my team, we can dissect their words and their language and how they proffer it and how they put their sentences together. And then we look at their body language and their demeanor when they're actually saying that. And then we can use a voice stress analysis. And then I take those certain pieces and I go, okay, let's run that through. Let's see where there's cognitive load or anxiety. You tie that beautiful little package together with 3-in-1, and they're deceptive across the board, and you don't even talk about those pieces with each other, and you come to a unanimous vote that they were being deceptive and why.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 100%.
Sure.
There's no way around it. So my advice would be keep him off the stand if he ever gets a trial. That's the only way I see that he even has even a glimpse of a chance.
And if he were to go back, what I keep getting stuck at is, are we going to see more lies? Are we going to see another story? Are we going to see another narrative, if you will, come to light? Because there doesn't seem to be any real room for him to be innocent in this, or at least not have knowledge of what happened, given the timestamp on the dog kennel video where he was there right as these events would have taken place. Do you think we're going to see something along those lines of, well, it wasn't me, but there was other people here or something? I don't even know where he would possibly go with it. We could speculate on that probably forever. Where do you think he could take this in his own defense?
We have new evidence that has come forward.
Yes, that would be it. We have new evidence.
We have new witnesses. We have more information than we had when we first started this trial. Mm-hmm. Had we had this information, this would have come out. See, that's where I would have gone for. And of course, then you're going to spin it. You know, I'm also involved in trial strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're behind closed doors, we're talking about all of the possibilities, mm-hmm. how we're going to diffuse some of the really incriminating things, and then how to redirect people in a different way so they see things from a different perspective, and using that cognitive bias, right? Mm-hmm. You can spin it for positive or for negative. So you literally can, depending on how skillful the attorney is, there is a way to weave through. I think of the way I think of it, and I don't even know what those are, but I think of, you know, in front of these very, very fancy houses, and they've got that little, and we see them in some of these kids' movies and stuff where you go through this maze, right? Mm-hmm. You go through this maze. They're just going to have to create a new maze.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.